A good Moed. It was very pleasant to hear what was said about me in English. I don't know what was said about me in Yiddish because I don't understand it. I hope nothing terrible. And I'm very happy to see smiling faces. It doesn't often happen when I talk about the subject that I get smiling faces. In fact, I was mentioning as I arrived today that I feel very comfortable, even though I have a somewhat different color scheme, because on Yom Kippur I happened to daven in a similar Bes Midrash. And why? Because in my synagogue where I usually go, the rabbi told me that I'm no longer eligible to get an aliyah. Not because Chas v'Shalom I started transgressing Shabbos or something like that. No, I did something much more serious. I questioned Zionism. And this indeed is, I suppose, the ultimate chet, which is not part of the al-chet shechatanu, but apparently it should be there. So, in fact, I am very pleased to be among you, and I will just tell you about the experience of writing about and talking about the subject. And something that was said about connection between the Churban, the destruction of 6 million Jews and the State of Israel. In fact, it's not only European Jews who suffered from it that have exactly this idea that if there is no Medinat Israel, then apparently we have nowhere else to go. But I was speaking about this subject in Morocco last summer. Before I started talking, I chatted with the head of the community in that town, Jewish community, and he said, "No, I'll introduce you, but if something happens, the only place we can go to is Medinat Israel." And even Moroccan Jews who never had any experience of anything similar to Khmelnytsky, or even they have been brainwashed into believing the same thing. And since I'm in the Bes HaMidrash, I just wanted to start with something which I started then in Morocco. And I said, I was waiting before Mincha and I opened the book, Sefer, published there, called Lev David, by David, Rabbi David Kadosh. And in that book, he brings an interesting story about iron and gold. And iron is discussing with gold. And iron asks gold, why is it that... No, gold asks iron, why is it that when they forge you, you make so much noise? You know, when they work with me, gold, there's no noise, but when iron is being worked on, there's so much noise. And iron answers, when a hammer hits you, it's not your brother who hits you. When iron hits me, it's my brother. And what I'm going to talk about, I said then, may hurt, because it comes from brother to brother. I don't think it'll hurt that much tonight, but for many audiences, it has to. But there are some of the things I may say may hurt as well. As I was landing in New York this afternoon, a neighbor on the plane drew my attention to an article that appeared today in New York Times. Since I don't believe there are such things as coincidences, it makes some sense. The article appeared today in New York Times, an op-ed page, and you can see Magen David erased, and it says, "Two people, one state." For the New York Times to publish an article which clearly states that the Zionist state should not exist and should be replaced by some other political arrangement, in my opinion, is unprecedented. I've never seen in New York Times anything like that. So apparently there is a certain opening in generally in the media concerning this issue. Because people realize that the Middle Eastern conflict has been extremely violent. It has lasted for over half a century, killed tens of thousands of people, and we are nowhere closer to its solution. Whatever American presidents might think. This is not something which people take, it's not a minority view, it's a majority opinion of both Jews and non-Jews. And for many, Zionism certainly has become more important than Judaism. In fact, that is one of the objections that rabbis 100 years ago put forward against Zionism. They said that Zionism will replace Judaism, and it has replaced Judaism for the vast majority of people today. That's why the story I began my talk tonight, that I'm not getting Aliyah in the synagogue, because Zionism is more important than Judaism. It's quite clear. Now, what can we do about this new belief that has spread? Some believe that Zionism is a new religion. And in fact, there is something to it, because people hold very strongly to this set of beliefs. The State of Israel has become the center of their aspirations, hopes, their concerns, their adoration. It's amazing how much enthusiasm and how much concern events in the State of Israel provoke among ordinary Jews. Sometimes I wonder what Jews were talking about during prayers before there was a State of Israel. They must have found some subject to talk about. But today, it's clearly most of the talk is about the State of Israel. And we have to be concerned about it, because the values of this new religion are very different. What is the difficulty? The difficulty is that someone like Ariel Sharon or Natan Sharani regularly speak on behalf of Am Israel. He doesn't talk about Israeli electorate, Israeli nation. No, he talks about Am Israel. And Am Israel is translated into English as Jews. And therefore, when people who are not Jewish look at the State of Israel, we think, of course, the State of Israel is an ultimate expression of what Judaism stands for. And whether you like it or not, this is the case. And this is certainly the case for people who call themselves Christian Zionists. In fact, there are more Christian Zionists today than there are Jewish Zionists. For them, I don't want to describe what their scenario is, but one Israeli intellectual termed it this following way. So it's the Christian Zionists have written a play in five acts, and we disappear in the fourth one. So there is a tremendous importance attached to the State of Israel, both by Jews and non-Jews. And as a result, when you don't, but most people in the world do, open their TV sets, what they see practically every night are images of Jews. You wouldn't believe it. Jews have become extremely visible in the media. And what do they see? What kind of Jews do they see? Quite often they actually see even payas. But usually these payas hang over a gun. And what they see are images of rather cruel, often insensitive, and extremely chutzpahdiki people. And these are the people that they associate with Judaism, with Jews, and in fact, when we talk about most newspapers refer to the State of Israel as a Jewish state or Hebrew state. This constitutes a tremendous danger, which we'll return to, because when rabbis in the territories recently made a statement, which was, of course, reported by most newspapers, that it's a mitzvah to kill even peaceful Palestinians, and they explain why. Of course, the media were delighted to report this news. And you can imagine what people, even around you, think. Even they don't know that you are Satmar. They've never read Yoel Moishe. They see you as Jews, and they associate you with tanks and F-16s. And this is a serious issue. When I said that a new religion and a new identity were created, I think I'm not making a mistake, because the founders of Zionism and the State of Israel did want to create a new identity. They wanted to have a new Jew. And what you and I understand is, you and I read that what is supposed to be a Jew, Baishanim, Rahmanim, Gamle Hasadim, they turned upside down. In fact, they have to be assertive, aggressive, militant, And above all, don't be friar, don't be gomel chassadim. That's very important. So the value system is completely turned on its head. And as a result, no one should be surprised that anti-Semitism is on the rise. In conflict, they are not local anti-Semites. In fact, we can be almost nostalgic about the old kind of anti-Semites. These are new people who actually revenge. They take revenge for the injustice done to their brethren Muslims in the Middle East. And who do they revenge against? If I'm not mistaken, there was a school in Antwerp that was attacked at one point. And they attack those who have absolutely nothing to do with it, but it's too late because no one even tries to explain the difference between Judaism and Zionism, between Jews and the Zionists. And the world sees the Jews as extremely dangerous troublemakers. Extremely dangerous because not only do they continue this conflict that has lasted for so many decades, but they also try to muzzle, to control the debate about this subject. That's why it is so newsworthy that today's New York Times carries an article not criticizing Sharon's policies, which they have done quite often, but questioning the whole idea of the Zionist state, of a Jewish state in the Middle East. And this, I think, is quite telling. What brought me here, I suppose, the fact is that I published a book. I teach in Montreal, as you have heard, and I teach in French. It's a rare occasion for me to speak English, in fact. And I decided to write a book about the history of Jewish opposition to Zionism. When I started suggesting this idea to publishers, almost all asked me, do you really mean Jewish opposition to Zionism? They couldn't even understand the subject. Because for them, Jewish opposition to Zionism is something like boiling snow. I mean, it just can't be. Finally, I was very happy to find a very cooperative publisher, the University of Laval. And last April, with God's help, I published this book in French, because I found a publisher in French, but also because in Europe you have approximately 600,000 French-speaking Jews, and they are perhaps the most Zionist Jewish community I've ever seen. And therefore, if we have to talk about medicine against sickness, you have to send it to the person who is sick, and not the one who isn't. And therefore, I wrote it in French, and it came out in April. And let me tell you a few words, because I don't think all of you read French, so I'll just say a few words. What is in this book? The book is called, in English, In the Name of Torah, A History of Jewish Opposition to Zionism. When I was launching this book in Montreal, I had very unfriendly faces in the first row. And what upset them most is that I always wear a kippah, so I wear a kippah. And the book is called In the Name of Torah. So they can't say that these are some detractors of Zionism. In fact, the book deals and explains and interprets most important Jewish thinkers of the 20th century, really Gdolei Ador. And of course, one of the most important is the book, not only that book, but Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who certainly moved the thinking on the subject perhaps more than others. But I also devote attention to Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman and to Chaim Soloveitchik, to Chofetz Chaim. I mean, I'm bringing people whose status in the Jewish world is totally unquestionable. And no one is going to argue that these are marginal Jews. And what was a surprise for me when I was doing research for this book is how unanimous opposition to Zionism was in the beginning of the 20th century. Today you have this Beis HaMidrash in the Satmar area of Brooklyn, and we are talking about this subject, but 100 years ago it was pshita. I mean, no one in his right mind would support the Zionist project, and that's why I found it very interesting to present the history. My book has 7 chapters. I'll just name those chapters so you'll know. First, it's historical signposts. I explain what a secularization, assimilation, and who are anti-Zionists and non-Zionists. Then the chapter 2 is a new identity, where I describe what the Zionist ideal was, to create a new Jew, a Jew who is strong, who is blonde and blue-eyed. It's also an interesting why he should be blonde and blue-eyed, but that we'll leave for later. This new person has to speak a new language, and he has to be in a new land. And in fact, he has to be very different from the old Jew. And if you know, many of you have been to Israel, you know the remarkable hatred that people like you attract in Israel, much more than here. Why? Because the very existence of Jews like you is a threat to the Zionist project, because they wanted everyone to be the new Israeli. And these people don't somehow do it. And there is a book, a colleague of mine, Noach Efron, he's a professor at Bar-Ilan University. He published it in English, so it's easier to get here. The book is called Rural Jews. And the book is about attitudes towards Haredim in Israel. And it makes for a very unpleasant reading for those who don't know, including cartoons by far more anti-Semitic than anything you can find elsewhere in the world. You know, with Jews, with theists, and grabbing, you know, all these traditional anti-Semitic images are found in the book Real Jews by Noach Efron. So people can't blame me that I'm only promoting my own book, I'm promoting someone else's book too. The third chapter is Land of Israel Between Exile and Return, and I'm explaining to the reader what it means, because most people don't understand. Don't you mention Jerusalem so many times during your prayers and your Berkat HaMazon and all that? How can anyone be against? So I have a whole chapter which explains transgression and exile, what is messianism, the Zionist idea of rebuilding the country. And number 4 is use of force. That's a very important chapter, because here I explain how the Gdolim looked at using physical force to reconquer the land. And you know, they didn't look very kindly on this idea. Chapter 5 is collaboration with the Zionists. I think someone mentioned here, you mentioned, that collaboration with the Zionists is a very important issue, because theoretically many people in Israel and here are opposed to Zionism and the State of Israel. But b'di'eved, and for all kinds of reasons, they cooperate. And therefore, I wanted to explain how they cooperate, on what basis they cooperate, and what's the attitudes that this engenders. Chapter 6, by far the most difficult to write, and perhaps the most difficult to read, is about Zionism and the Churban, the Shoah. The causes of that, the Zionist movement during this event, and whether the State of Israel represents a miraculous rebirth, as you mentioned, or a continuing destruction. And here, of course, I draw a lot from Vayoel Moshe, because he talks a lot about that. And finally, Chapter 7 is called Prophecies of Destruction and Strategies of Survival. What is going to happen? What do the rabbis say on this subject? Is it going to continue? Is it going to disappear? And if it's going to disappear, how? So this is the book that I've written, and I have been talking about this book since April, and I must say that it was received by the world with tremendous thirst. I'm using really the word thirst. When I'm interviewed on the radio and television, when I'm interviewed for newspapers, and there's quite a few of them have done it, sometimes the person who interviews me can't really control his or her enthusiasm. Says, we were really, it's amazing, we always suspected Judaism is not what we see on TV screens, but finally your book explains why it isn't. Because for many people, they didn't know it. They didn't know that Judaism is something else, that the values are different, and in fact that the rabbis, and great majority of them, were, and some of them are, against Zionism. And there is one episode that I would just like to tell you. I was in Strasbourg to promote my book. I gave a talk at the largest bookstore of the city. And then someone came up to me and he introduced, he was a Muslim. I said, would I like to speak at the Muslim Association of Strasbourg? I said, sure. And since it was, I arrived on Thursday, so I gave my talk on Thursday evening, then there was Shabbos, and then Shavuos, and I stayed for another Shabbos among my friends in Strasbourg. So I talked on Sunday a week later, 10 days later, and I took a few of my Frum friends from Strasbourg with me. So we were about four or five. One of them is Moroccan, of Moroccan origin. He understands Arabic. And as I was explaining the book, as I'm explaining it to you pretty much today, perhaps in greater detail because I don't have to quote Fayyul Moshe to you, you know, without me. There was a father and a son sitting in front of me. And they were very enthusiastic, and I could see that something is being exchanged, but I don't understand Arabic, I don't get it. But my friend, the Yid who was sitting there, understood Arabic. And later he told me what they were talking about. The father was beaming with happiness. He was telling his son, no, now you see, these are the Jews I was talking to you about. You had never seen them, but they exist, they do exist. And that's the Jews I grew up among, so in Morocco or wherever. So there is still a collective memory among non-Jews, even among Muslims for that matter, that Jews is something different from what they see on TV. And therefore, a book like mine and other activities should open the minds of people and give them the facts that they lack because you know that the Zionist viewpoint is promoted with multi-billion dollar enterprises and there's absolutely no competition. In fact, I think it's amazing that this kind of book can even appear, at least in French. I've had tremendous difficulty in English. And I would hope that it will appear also in Russian and Spanish. Several countries are interested in it, and in one country translation is being done, so I do hope it will appear in different languages. Because the world is open to the words of Torah. The world is interested to know, but what they get is the opinions. It's what they get, and to satisfy their thirst for knowledge, they get rather primitive ideas about Jews supporting Zionism and the State of Israel because it is an integral part of Judaism, because this is something without which neither Judaism nor Torah can exist. So in order to spread this idea, for which I repeat, the population, both Jewish and non-Jewish, is remarkably open. I mean, I was surprised how much openness I encountered among Jews, among non-Jews. And even when I promoted my book in Morocco, which is an Arab country, I did not see anyone using the material of my book in order to bash the Jews, to be anti-Jewish. They really wanted to see the difference between Zionist and the Jew. And whenever I do it in my interviews, I'm very careful to say that, say, we're talking about, most people ask, what about Jewish colonies in Gaza? And I repeat, oh, Zionist colonies in Gaza, because they're different things. So we can inform the people, but in order to inform them, something has to be done. I believe that for many people in the world, it would be a complete discovery to read a few lines from thinkers like Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, because they really foresaw what is going on today. Now, when I look at some of the commentaries, it's amazing how these people could foresee what we are having today. That, for example, one of the ideas of the creating of the State of Israel was to diminish to anti-Semitism and Jew hatred. Well, I think you would all agree that there is only one place in the world where a Jew can be killed because he is a Jew. And unfortunately, it's Eretz Israel today. Because here in New York, I suppose you can be killed for all kinds of reasons, but not necessarily because you're a Jew. But in, say, in Eretz Israel, this is unfortunately the case, and some of that was foreseen. So my book explains it, and I think that there is tremendous potential for Kiddush Hashem, or at least for prevention of Chilul Hashem. Because the Chilul Hashem happens every day on TV screens of the entire world. whether you're in Bangladesh, in China, in Africa, you see the same images of actually Frumayidin running around with machine guns and chasing Palestinian kids and all that stuff, which is heartrending, but also is an immense Hilul Hashem. An answer has to be given in order to save lives, because I think this increase of hatred of the Jew is very dangerous, both for Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, but also for Jews who live here. Because when you walk in the subway, or someone sees you, and he had just seen these images of 25 Palestinian burials in Gaza, and they see you, they actually associate you with those soldiers. And this is extremely dangerous, and I can only say that it's remarkable, Rahmanos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we don't get more anti-Semitism than we already have. I mean, I think it's a remarkable sign of mercy that we are enjoying, but we shouldn't abuse his mercy. We should do something about it as well. I was asked after my talk to handle questions. If there are any questions, I'll be delighted to do so, to answer them if I can. And I think it's very appropriate that we have this talk on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, because it's one holiday which, well, with the 70 sacrifices that were brought to the temple in the old times, which actually involved the entire world. And here we are talking also about something which may involve the entire world. Thank you so much. Well, the question is, how did I get to this? Well, I grew up in the Soviet Union, as you've heard, without any visible trace of Judaism around me. Except that in my passport it was written nationality Jewish. So I decided to explore what actually it means. And then I happened to meet very bright rabbis with whom I studied, and I became observant about 28 years ago, just recently. And since I'm generally a curious person, I wanted to see what Torah has to say on various kinds of issues. One of them was the issue of Zionism in the State of Israel. I remember in 1980, I interviewed a prominent anti-Zionist rabbi in Jerusalem. Then I spent another sabbatical in Jerusalem, and I studied the question, which is now my fourth chapter in the book, whether it's legitimate to use physical force, military force, in reconquering the land of Israel today. So that's how I got to that. And as the conflict became more and more acute and the Hilul Hashem was becoming more and more serious, I started writing articles that Israel, in fact, endangers Jewish lives, both in Israel and outside of Israel. One of those articles, I was told, was translated in Gari'id, so some of you may have read it at one point. But I published it in the Montreal Gazette. So I usually publish in general publications, because practically no Jewish publication would touch it. In fact, I'm very happy I don't work for a Jewish organization, and there are no Jews on the board of directors of the university that published this book. So it's quite a serious issue. And finally, what brought me to write this book is that 3 years ago, on Yom Ha'atzmaut, on Hei B'Iyar, there was a demonstration in Montreal in support of the State of Israel. Thousands of people came with blue and white flags. It was very, very joyful. What spoiled the joy was the presence of about 50 people dressed more or less like you, without shtremels, decrying against us, speaking against the State of Israel. And the following day, I got phone calls from newspapers that, Yaakov, tell us, what is this thing? We've never seen Jews against Zionism, against Israel. So I wrote one article, then I wrote another article. And as I was being interviewed for the third one, the journalist says, well, why did you write a book about it? It's really, no one knows anything. It's completely unknown. No one heard about these things. So that's how I ended up doing it. It's not enough for me to plan. I also have to have a publisher who wants to do it. And I've seen a lot of publishers. There is, for example, if I may answer you, again, there is no such a thing as coincidence. 2 days ago on Sunday evening, I wrote No, it was Motzei Shabbos, actually. I sent an email to a British publisher who answered me, yes, we will be interested. We don't have money for the translation from French. So I think, as in many things, if you want to sell something, you have to advertise, you have to put money into it. And I think if you have a new soap, you have to advertise it. And if you have a new idea, unfortunately, it is a new idea. It's an old idea, but it's a new one. We just have to make an effort to publicize it. There is one book. Yeah. In fact, you see, there is. I'll tell you, I went to Morocco, I went to France, I paid for my own trips there. I stayed with friends. I just do it because it's important to do it. But when I compare this with the multi-billion empire on the other side, and it's very uneven distribution of forces, but I do think that someone important is on our side, so it's okay.
Thanks so much for Professor Rothman for being with us tonight and for being our messenger and the messenger and the Torah for the whole world. And Hashem should be in Korach, he should be mindful of his holy work, and he should be stand on his side with money and support. He should go further with his holy work of Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Yichon Abim B'Shayim Hashem, and it's only in Kuvot, that Kiddush is Merchum V'tayni, and today Riv Shlita, and it's a Mahin at the Pru Verter, in the Matav.
Welt ohne Geld zu kassen, wenn ich du. Sehr wichtiges Bier überzulegen auf Englisch. Der Ihnen sucht, das kostet $10,000, das immer tatschen und trinken. Mach einen schönen Appell zu machen, später hin zu finden, darf schaffen das Geld. Sehr wichtig, dass er gibt es, dass man das Bier übersetzen auf Englisch. Ich bin für das erledigt. In dem, dass es hinterher man appuchieren, schaffen die Geld darauf. Schön, mal wenig Geld zurückzunehmen.
Das ist ein Heilig, was er angekommen hat, der ich gab, auf der größten Zuhe. We do it alone in the court of mine, as a rose came and dark them, organization. A gewaltige heilig dazu is, was me daft sie hoven, was sie kost, was sie in seinen Oisek nicht nur hand nach Chalamoid, wenn me geit sich a bissl auslüftern nach Schuh, so du jeden was ein Oisek in dem 24 Schuh, wenn me sich dem Jür, zum ersten Bereich rischen darf man ausriefen. Der Rasch wird rischen, chal dummisch und gdische, her abunia chus am Fass im Regionen, Österreicher Schlitte, der Baalach Samje, was der Übergang mit dem Eichkönigisch nach dem Weißer Wolfshof, von Heiligen Michseluder, im Water von Heiligen Remselkönigbrüche, in das Halter Water ohne Water Mamschich. Auch darf man tun, falls man dann, wo der Buni, Hanuge, bekannt mit allen, mit einer größten Peilis, überfragt, mit falls man zu sagen, dem Baal Hashem, wo er alle Benzin schwarz schritte, dass wir kennen von den Jungen, dass sie geht nicht durch, kein halber Schuh, dass sie den Mann nicht im Namen verändern können, wenn sie brauchen. Da habe ich sie, der helft mir Männer, jungen, die wir kein Jahr sind, die geben auch heilig in der gewaltigen Sache. Auch heilig von der Zuhe, dass sie mir fassen zu sein auf der Radio, von dem es so Ölern zum Frieden gehört, als so ein gewaltiger Durst für Millionen, Millionen Goyen in der Haft der Jiden, wo es am Keimel nicht gehört von der Samen Sache. Und wir werden jetzt gewohnt, dass alles kostet, alle Luft mit der Wubes, und man darf sich mit dem Staat sein. A press release. We must be fast from Tat to Tat. A Bichl in the English Sprach. The website is on free grid. It's a Steingreit Schraber, Swimchen, was geben sich up mit dem. It's a daf sein gewohnt mit dem Osten, jede Wort. Was a tool in dem Hakel in Union, Brieven von der Regierung. Talkshows. Wo sie da gewaltige, gewaltige Pirsen, für alle Goyim. Und also auch schickt man nach ihm die heilige Zwuren, bei Yom Moshe, im Mepharsim, in der Zeitungen, in der Ausgabe des Megetaros. Das ist ein kleiner Teil, auf dem allem verlangt sich zu ist. Und sagen wir jeden Tag mit Bleichatuaini zum Schifriergerät. Aber wie viel badet es denn, wie viel tut es wei? Man soll rausnehmen Geld, es muss sehen, wie viel tut es wei. Wie viel badet es, wenn es ein Chakrimal und Messaini? En wieveel meiste eend, wenn de beet smelig rachem rachem alleini. Lood wieveel des toch me staten zaan, margik te zaan dem chill Hashem, en erop te nemen dem geroen af, en me farsen zaan dem kwad Hashem, lood eem, kemmen zeen wie waad, bis nun zu der Sach. Jetzt am rum des Chieh, zu heen apur de Bieren. En zo me beten dem Ruschlieter, der red apur de Bieren, de Chlulius, wegen de gewaltige Indien, zum chazik te zaan, der Neuse, was mit Neuse in dem ganzen Jahr, in das Kunem, und so der Stütze von allen Rabunem schlitten. Schhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh